Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is the Old Testament lesson appointed for the second Sunday in the season of Advent. I read to you from Isaiah chapter 40, starting on the first verse and then reading through to the 11th. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord your God comes to you with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Thus far the text. I'd like to invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you come to us in your word. We pray that you help us to shut out all the distractions of this day and to hear what it is that you've prepared for us. We ask that you bless us with faith to receive it and to believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, last week on the first Sunday in Advent, we heard Isaiah speak, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries that the nations might tremble at your presence. Isaiah's prayers were very human, we have to say. Oh, that you would make yourself known in this generation. They were trusting too. Isaiah turned to God knowing that God could be approached even though his face was hidden from his people. And they were powerfully set in the promises of God. This prayer came from the very depth of faith, knowing the covenantal promise that God made with Israel. Even while Israel was insolent, they were still part of God's heart, something which God himself couldn't deny. God's response would far exceed Isaiah's expectations, and for that matter, the expectations of any person dead, living, or yet to live. In the face of the world's rejection of God's divine love, God chose not to rend the heavens to ultimately reveal himself, but instead to rend his own heart to send his one and only Son into the world to be born of a virgin, to live a life that was blameless, and to suffer and die on a cross on our behalf. And all that would call upon his name would have the forgiveness of sin and live in his resurrection. In this rending of the heart, we as his children have a comfort that rests upon our hearts, one that gives us peace even in these unsettled times as we await the coming of our Lord, both in his nativity and in his coming glory on the last day. This truly is our comfort, that God has chosen to spare us by unleashing his wrath upon his one and only Son. When God says the words, comfort, comfort my people, we're offered a wonderful insight into God's true nature. Some people struggle to see this in the Old Testament, but God is a God who is full of mercy, and that mercy always takes priority over judgment. One just has to look a little bit closer at the Old Testament, you'll see this. Even ahead of any form of judgment, God says, take heed. In the Garden of Eden, for instance, God issued a warning to Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in that day you eat from it, you will surely die. God gave the world 120 years to consider their sinful ways and repent as Noah was building the ark. And of course, then there was Nineveh. Yet in 40 days shall Nineveh be destroyed. In each of these examples, you can clearly see that God does not wish to see the destruction of his children, but rather offers them the option to exercise their free will and to abide in him or to return to him, seeking his forgiveness. Judgment certainly does follow. Those who purposely choose disobedience are judged because God can't change what it is that he said. He's warned them for a purpose. Sin is sin. And death and its the result of sin, well, certainly that will happen. And yet, you still see in God's judgment that he restrains what it is that he's about to do. Case in point, when Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all those who refused to trust God and cross the Jordan River to take possession of the land of Canaan died of natural causes. Never did he ever let them or even their children suffer. God provided them all with manna and quail to eat, with water to drink. And never in those 40 years of wandering did God let any of their feet swell, and the clothes on their backs and the shoes on their feet, they never wore out. God relented at Jericho. All of Jericho was to have been destroyed for its unrighteousness, and yet God spared Rahab, the prostitute, together with her family, for her confession that God was truly the God of all heaven and earth. He even included her in Christ's genealogy. And then there were all those times where God, after meting out his judgment, gathered his children together again from where they'd been scattered to restore them to himself. In other words, God's wrath didn't stay upon his people. There was always a remnant. There was always those who were blessed by God's free gift of faith and were sustained and shepherded too. I like the way Martin Luther put it. Judgment, he said, is an alien work to God. It runs contrary to God's desire that all should be saved. And so God returns then to his proper work of justifying sinners by the sole means of his grace. Grace, as you know, levels the playing field. We're all temporal, that is to say, we've all got a shelf life, because we're all born of Adam and we're all dead because of our transgressions, because of our love for sin. That outstrips our love for God, and that gives us an expiry date. But God purposely enters into this life. He purposely chooses to leave his righteous abode, regardless of our sinfulness, regardless of our rebelliousness. Come here, my friends, lift up your eyes and see what in the manger lies. Who is this child so young and fair? It is the Christ child lying there. Welcome to earth, O noble guest, through whom the sinful world is blessed. You came to share my misery, that you might share your joy with me. Those two verses in From Heaven Above to Earth I Come remind us that there are no more high places. God instead comes down to us to live in our midst. Nor are there any more low places, as God glorified the tomb of all who have fallen asleep in him by his 3-day rest in the grave. Now, there's only union and communion in God, and it's offered to us, each one of us, by God. That changes our perspective completely when it comes to hope. We're not left struggling with the fear that we ourselves won't be able to turn to God, but instead we're assured that God has turned to us. God has turned to us and given us his comfort. God's word assures us that God will watch over us as a shepherd watches over his flock, from the youngest and the weakest in the faith on up. Whoever we are, wherever we are, he will tend to us, calling us out of the darkness of sin into his marvelous light through his word. And every time his word is proclaimed, we hear that assurance over and over again. Comfort, comfort, my people. What more wonderful gift could God ever offer us than the promise of his salvation? It's ours in the form of Christ, ours from the birth of that child through to the promise of his return. It's ours in his word. That's our assurance for this, the second Sunday in the season of Advent and our assurance for all time. God's word reveals God's intent, which is extended to his children in his holy name, which is over us, which includes us in his kingdom to all eternity. The key verse for this coming week tags into "Comfort, comfort my people," the opening words of our sermon text. It's a blessing that the Apostle Paul speaks to the church in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. May you indeed be comforted in God's word and bring comfort to those around you, both by living out your peace in this world and by proclaiming him through whom that peace was achieved. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. You've comforted us. You've offered us your word of peace. You've offered us hope. And Lord God, that hope goes with us as we go about our daily lives. Help us to be proclaimers of that hope by our thoughts, words, and deeds, by our actions, by our proclamation. We ask that you help us to be sustained for the coming weeks as we seek out and we await the arrival of your Son. Help us to always, always hold true to what it is that you've promised, that you are coming. These things we put before you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.